Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. Joining me, as always, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, technical difficulties today.
Yeah, so I pretty much about got into a fist fight with my daggone laptop here. This thing's driving me crazy. I'm pretty frustrated with it, but you know, that's part of business. You know, you got to roll with the punches. We're getting it figured out. We got it going.
That's right. And on this episode of Wrestle Horror, we are going to the haunting and horror side of everything. Our special guest is Brian Foreman. He is the owner of Dead Factory in Mexico, Missouri. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
As well as he has a podcast called Haunt Topic, and he's got a business called Scare It Badges, and we're going to get into all of that during the conversation. Brian, welcome to Wrestle Horror, man.
Man, glad to be here.
So, you know, let's get a little bit of your background for our viewers and listeners. What got you started in this wonderful industry we call haunting?
Man, it's been a long road. It seems like a long time when you look back on it. You know, I'm only 47 years old, but, you know, doing this thing since, I guess you can say, you know, as a kid growing up, Halloween, you always had that passion. You always decorated the house. I remember hiding in the front yard in a big pile of leaves and jumping out of people. We lived in an early 1900s style house. Mom and Dad still lived there. We, right there above the front steps was a window. And of course, every year you had to hang something out the window, whether it was a spider or a dead body, and drop it on people, you know, right before it hit their head. Right. We'd measure the rope just about right. So whenever it fell, it just boom. So, you know, it was always in our blood, but me and the brother and kind of Dad started it all, but we didn't know if there was a haunt industry out there. And then, kind of forgot about, you know, joined the military for about 5 years and kind of forgot about haunting and got out, got married, had kids. And my brother called me up one day and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Nothing, sitting here watching TV." He's like, "Well, you want to do a haunted house?" He was in with a place where they had 13 single wide trailers all in a circle, and each person got their own trailer to decorate. So he was like, "Hey, I'm decorating this trailer. You want to come out and help me?" That was about 16 years ago. And I'm like, it sounds cool. So I drove, it was about a 30-minute drive, and started helping him decorate that trailer. Well, decorating became scare acting. Scare acting became a thing I did there for a few years. That place got shut down, and then we decided to do something on his property. He had about a 2-acre wooded lot behind his house. So we did that for a few years. Say we were kind of still learning at the time, so not everything was up to code. It was like one of those things, "Hey, let's try this idea." Before you knew it, we had 2,000 people in our backyard. And it was like, okay, so we had to kind of shut that down because they wanted us to spend too much money in that project to even make it worthwhile. So it was one of those things we just kind of stepped back for a minute. I just started to do home haunting in my garage, kind of learned just by doing decorating, and, you know, I had like 6 scare actors learning how to run a small show at my house for free. So I kind of learned to do different things in that 4 years. It taught me a lot. And then I outgrew my house. I came across a guy that was an old friend from school that had a warehouse that was vacant. I'd put a post out on Facebook, "Hey, I'm outgrowing my house. I really want to start a commercial attraction. Anybody have any space available?" And he did. So we kind of went in together, Eric Smith, myself, and my brother, Scott Foreman. We all kind of run the Dead Factory. And this is going on this will be our 7th year. Here in Missouri, we're a town of about 12,000 people. This year, we did open through COVID. We took up, you know, the self-distancing, and our actors were wearing masks, and the customers, and we tried to maintain as much social distancing as we could. And here in Missouri, we're kind of a it wasn't really an enforcement of masks. So it was kind of a, you know, enter at your own risk type of thing. But we made sure that all of our actors felt comfortable, made sure that they had masks. The customers had hand sanitizer. We opened up our outdoor queue so everybody spaced out. So everybody, you know, we didn't have any complaints about anything. There wasn't a big COVID outbreak at our haunted attraction, which was good. I know this year was hard for a lot of haunt owners out there if you could even open.
Right.
There were some states you couldn't even open. So as so this going in our seventh year, of course, in between that time, we did Haunt Topic Radio. Me and Daryl Plunkey started Haunt Topic. We also, me and Daryl started Scarab Badges, which are badges for haunted attraction actors, scare actors, behind the scenes people, ticket takers, maintenance people, builders, and we're adding badges yearly. So our end goal is to have something for everybody inside a haunted attraction. We also do buttons, which they give out as awards too. So we have cloth iron-on badges and buttons. We do custom design work too. So if you guys need stuff for your own haunted attraction or you think of a badge that you may like, contact us and we could do it up for you. We haven't done anything for the wrestle community yet, but hey, we're open to ideas. So yeah,
definitely.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, Donnie, we might have to look at a wrestle horror badge.
Yeah. A wrestle it badges. We do wrestle it badges.
Whatever kind of moves you do, we can do different moves or whatever.
There you go. Yeah. Something to look into for sure.
Right.
I got to tell you, Brian, I've still got the samples that you guys gave me from your first run of Scarab Badges when we were at HauntCon in 2018.
Right.
I've still got most of those. I did give some to my actors, but I kept a couple for sentimental reasons. But
right.
All the actors that got what I gave them earned them. There was no just here, have a merit badge. It was, here you go. So I think you guys have really, really done well with that. And it's a great way, and it's a simple way to acknowledge all the help that goes into making a successful haunted attraction.
Yep. Yeah. That's what we're getting, the feedback from a lot of our actors as well, because we've been doing it. That's who we kind of test ran and on. Where Daryl's in Canada and I'm in Missouri. So we kind of did the test run on them the first year. Got some feedback. There's some things we would like to add, like, instead of getting the same badge, like you get the scariest character this year, and well, then maybe the same actor gets the scariest character the second year. We want to add little skull pins around the badge. Maybe instead of having a new badge, you can have a bronze pin or a silver pin or something there that kind of, you can just add it to that badge. So, a lot of people like put them on their hoodies, their biker jackets, the vests, stuff like that. And so we're always looking for new ideas. You know, you guys want to contact us with any kind of ideas. Actually, like we did at HauntCon, was we had a survey. We'd have like six new designs, just concepts, and we had people vote on them. So then we would take those votes and make those top three badges that year. So we're always looking for feedback, because you guys are the ones are using them, you know, the people in the haunted houses, the scare actors. Like, we're working on a most improved. We noticed there's a gap for most improved actor, the guy that, you know, someone just started this year and they turned out to be one of your best actors. Right. So they're like, oh, well, you deserve your own because you came from nothing and you like one of the top guys this year. So we want to work on that probably this year coming up. Speaking of shows, are you going to any shows if they open this year?
If they do, we would absolutely love to. We did do a workshop at Virtual HauntCon this year, mm-hmm. called Wrestling with Your Character, and it talks about the whole wrestle horror concept and how we kind of merge the two and how they can work in a haunted attraction, using simple wrestling moves to make something appear more violent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we would absolutely love to go to a physical show. I mean, I don't know if they're going to have any though. That's just it. You know, I mean, it's still way up in the air.
Right. Yeah, I know they opened up the dates for Trans World, but the way St. Louis is still kind of locked down right now, that's the thing. So, yeah, where everybody's just kind of holding their breath, see what happens.
Well, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I think what Hong Kong did was it was a good idea, too. We did a panel on starting from home owner to pro. So we did had a few haunt owners on and just took questions and answers. We did that too. So yeah, I mean, it was over 3 days, and there was a lot of stuff that you could squeeze in if you had your crew kind of sign up for everything. I think there were some videos that you could watch afterwards too. So yeah, and I noticed a lot of virtual shows are happening this year. Have you guys heard of the Fear Expo?
We actually talked to Doug Sheldon on Big Scary Show. I think it's the current episode we have on the air.
Right. So yeah, I listened to that the other day. So I just found you guys back on iTunes because there was something with the feed that went down, and then I couldn't find it, and then I just searched for it again, Big Scary Show on my podcast player, and I've noticed I was behind about 15 episodes. So I'm like, oh shoot!
It was
about 30 hours to catch up on.
It was a big snafu with my RSS feed. I had to play with a lot of stuff, but it is good now. We have no problems going forward. But yeah, we just did that. And the West Coast Haunters Convention is also going to be doing a virtual show.
Right.
I'm concerned though, if with Transworld being pushed back, how's that going to, I mean, how do you think that's going to affect Midwest? I mean, is it just going to be Midwest that's not going to happen, or, I mean,
yeah, to be a show organizer right now, I would be pulling my hair out, which I don't have any, but you know, that's, well, you know, cause everybody, you have the vendors, you have the attendees that still have refunds or still have rooms that are booked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's stuff that was, there was money lost last year because of the average, like we printed so much material and stuff, postcards, got a bunch of badges that we couldn't sell, you know, the 2020 badges.
Right.
So there was a lot of things that we did as vendors that we took a loss, but how that's rolling in and out, you know, I just rolled everything over and I'm going to keep rolling everything over. I'm not really expecting a refund because I will be there whenever they open.
Right.
But how they do it, I don't know. Are they going to have one big show and just call it, you know, this is the show for the year? I know it's the earlier people get their orders in, the more time the vendors have to get all that product made and shipped, and so the closer it is to haunt season, you know, the shorter that window gets. So right. I don't know how they're going to logistics of it all, but
I think it's going to be a difficult year for vendors.
Yeah.
Being that everything's still up in the air. Last year in and of itself was, you know, traumatic to a degree. But this year with vendors not knowing what they're going to need to make, and like you said, the window narrowing every day, I think people are just not going to buy as much as they normally do.
I think that's what it kind of happened last year because, you know, either like for instance, we started, we didn't know if our laws were going to change. We didn't know if we were going to be locked down day one.
Right.
So we didn't buy as much. We didn't put as much money into it. I didn't buy as much advertising stuff that I did because I didn't know if I was going to be open. I didn't buy a billboard because I didn't know if I was going to be able to use it. So even if you go back, like you said, the product, you don't know what you need, if you're, fortunately, we are in a permanent spot. I know some people aren't, so they're not even the whole trying to get your spot, trying to get your insurance, trying to, you know, worry about your permits and your, do I even start doing it? A lot of people just gave up early. They're like, I'm not even going to try. I know Illinois, I've heard a few haunts opened in Illinois, but I heard that the governor said no on it, you know. As far as slow rollouts are happening, they're, you know, things are rolling out right now. There's people starting to open up restaurants and events and stuff. But, you know, you hear about the new strain coming and don't know what's going to happen with that. But it's just the world right now is so unpredictable.
Right.
You know what? And it seems like a week is about a month long when you go through it. And you're like, man, that was just a week. Shoot. So what things will be in August?
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully we're at 100% ready to go. I know people are going to want to get out. They're going to want to do stuff. And we had people driving states, you know, 1,000 miles away just to hit attractions that they could attend throughout the Midwest. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just traveling. So I know people want to get out.
No, you know, everybody wants to get out. We're tired of being locked down, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's a necessary evil, I think, to get this under control, but people are just tired. I mean, it's been going on for a year now.
You're right.
And it's hard. You know, I'm not used to sitting. I sit more home more on the weekends now than I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what do we, you know, what did I ever say?
You're going to pull your hair out too, don't you?
Well, you know, if I had any, it would be okay. Yeah. Like me.
I just got mine covered up because I need a haircut. I need a shave. You know?
Yeah, I got to shave mine too. It's getting a little long in the back. See it. Donnie, I know you had some questions for Brian. Why don't you go ahead and...
Yeah, I wanted to touch a little more on some of the other things he's got going on, and which will lead up to a question that I'm really wanting to know. So he's got Haunt Topic Podcast, which is a great podcast. They're doing Scarab badges. You know, he's got the Dead Factory Haunted House, and there's a couple other things that he's involved in that I wanted to know a little more about, which is the Scary Visions, and then what the concept of that is and what that all about. And then your Haunter's Toolbox is very interesting as well.
Okay, cool. Scary Visions is where I kind of started out at. That was my, one time that was my blog. You know, I started, I don't know what the age of that thing is. It happened in between when we were doing Backwoods Terror at my brother's house and they got shut down and I needed an outlet. I needed something to do. I had all this time on my hands. So I started doing research on Halloween haunt stuff. That was back in the forum days, you know. Haunters Forum, Halloween Forum, Garage of Evil, Halloween, I think the Halloween L. Yeah.
The RFR Cat Graveyard.
Yeah, all the old vloggers. So that, you know, Scary Visions was kind of my outlet. So, and I would cover different things in the haunt industry. Got on board with Rod and Flesh Radio, did a spot for them for a little bit. So that all kind of, when Rotting Flesh shut down, so that's when Haunt Topic started. But Scary Visions was kind of my blog. And then I met Daryl and we created Haunt Topic. So now Scary Visions is just kind of hosting links going out to all of my projects. Eventually, my retirement goal, I work for the post office. I can retire in 9 years at 57. So Scary Visions is going to be kind of my haunt consultant website. It's going to be more me and the wife want to travel RV. So if I can travel and still do haunt consulting around the United States, go to people's attractions, set up for them, do some creative work for them, just kind of set up and then say, see ya, have fun. And then so still allow me to do some haunt stuff on the road. So Scary Visions will become my consultant page. Mm-hmm. So that's, it used to be I still got some blog articles and stuff on there, but so that's kind of where Scary Visions started. I never wanted to kill it. So it's still kind of going. I still got a Facebook page out there. As far as Haunter's Toolbox, so Haunter's Toolbox was a concept that started out a Haunt Topic. It was our newsletter. It was called Haunter's Toolbox. So we started sending that out and then realized a lot of people were looking for private information, one-on-one information with consultants. So now we have a Facebook group, Haunter's Toolbox. That's a free group. Anybody can join. We also have hauntstoolbox.com, which is like a membership site. Actually just lowered the price to $100 a year. We do 12 yearly monthly chats with pros. So every month we pick a new topic and we discuss it, Q&A with our professionals. We've been doing throughout the 2020 season, we did a lot of COVID training, a lot of different things, we had Spencer Terry on, a lot of different people came on and talked about makeup safety and sanitization stuff that you can do in your haunt. And we still have a library of videos. So everything we've taken in the last 3 or 4 years is available to view on the site as well. So it's kind of like a membership site, more of a one-on-one type of, you want to start, if you're just getting started, if you want to take your haunt to the new level, we're always talking about stuff and I'm still learning things in there as well. So it's kind of cool to have all these pros in our, we have a separate secret group that we have just for members. And that's Haunter's Toolbox, but we still have the Facebook page as well. The free Facebook page, about 10,000 members over there. And we're anywhere from home haunters to vendors to owners. There's people over there that don't even have a haunt. They just like Halloween stuff and they're sharing stuff. So we have a lot of different brands out there. So it's if it wasn't for the help that I do have from other people, it'd be crazy. So
now, are you planning on adding and updating more online courses and online videos and stuff for Haunter's Toolbox?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, I have a backlog that I'm still working editing that I'm going to add to the site. And then, so we have another, the next one coming up is the 13th. And I'm talking to two different people on that to figure out what we're going to do on the 13th. But each month we have something on the 13th. Sometimes we just have a mastermind where we get together and ask, answer everyone's questions. We have a couple of people a few people didn't get to open last year, but we have some people that are just in the process of getting started. So, they'll ask, information about insurance or codes or, hey, I'm having this problem. What's your guys' advice? And then we'll just kind of tune in and say, hey, try this. Hey, try this. This is what I've done in the past. Don't do this. No, don't even. So it'll save you some time because you're kind of getting them a gist of 3 or 4 different people saying, and they're anywhere from big haunts to large haunts, small haunts. So that kind of gives you kind of idea of what different advice from different people.
Yeah, very cool. I've been on the website many times and I've watched some of the free videos and all that. I haven't signed up as a member yet. No reason. I just hadn't gotten around to it. But now that you said it's $100 a year, I'm pretty much going to sign up today because that's a no-brainer. I mean, you're talking less than $10 a month and get all the haunt information. So I'm definitely jumping on that today before you change your mind. Put the price back up.
No, because I wanted to do, because when I first set the price, it was, we were kind of like the only thing out there, we were but now there's so much free stuff out there that, people do on their pages. And so I'm trying to keep it a library. So there's a few good ones that I'm still editing that I want to put on the website. I haven't had those listed in the main spot yet when you go over there. And then we also had them as classes, individual classes, but then people were buying them and then they were able to keep them for free. And then I had this whole annual membership thing. So I decided to cancel where you can buy them individually. So now I reduced my price. So now if you want to buy, that would cover, cause I was $30 a piece. I was charging for the individual ones. So now there's 15 different classes on there, 15 or 20 different classes. So
nice.
So now you get all that plus the 12 months. I'm trying to get more in volume, more people to sign up and then, want to stick around and talk about things. Cause you would think if you're paying, cause I have several members, but you think if you were a member, you would want to get on monthly, and our monthly sessions, our live sessions aren't interactive. it should be. I know you're just like anything. If you do a webinar and you have 100 signups, only expect 10% of those to show up.
Yeah.
You know, because nobody, you know, a lot of people just want to watch it after the fact. They just want to see the download.
Everybody's got different schedules.
Yeah, everyone's got different schedules. You know, I try to host, sometimes I'll host them at 1 o'clock, sometimes they're 8 p.m. just trying to get more people to, you know, click on. But we usually have 5 or 6 pros that show up, and then we're, you know, mastermind talking about things. Sometimes they're a PowerPoint presentation.
That, you know, sometimes weight in gold itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Masterminding is great.
Right. You know, these guys have been doing it. I'm learning things too. And I, you know, so I'm like, shoot, this is free to me. All right. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about a lot of the topics this year was like about queue line management and the apps that you use for the queue manage or the wait list. One was waitlist.me or something. I can't remember. I have to look it up. But a lot of, you know, that was a big thing this year, was controlling crowds and maintaining space and how to use time ticketing and stuff like that, that are like things that are still, if you don't do it right, you know, they're so tricky. It's like, okay. And I'm, you know, you have to know your throughput. You have to know how many people you're going to put in. Is it a 15-minute slot, a 20-minute slot? Because if you don't do it right, you can lose money. But then if you get it down right, then your customers aren't waiting as long and you're, you know, you're being a little safer. But that's a whole other topic.
Oh, very cool. But like I said, I'm definitely signing up today and going to get more in depth and checking it out and seeing what I can learn for sure. Sweet. Even if I could just get in them masterminds and be a fly on the wall, that'd be worth $100 a year in itself.
Right. Come on over.
Donnie, he's a haunt sponge.
Oh yeah. I soak everything in I can. Like I said, I'm always trying to learn, which leads me to the next question. Now that we got those. So, like you, I work for the government. I'm a city employee. So I have my city job during the day. I own New Ohio Wrestling. I did own the Trail Tormenta Terror, co-owned it, but that's been shut down since, but we're doing the Wrestle Horde podcast. And, you know, we're just coming up with our Wrestle Horde concept, where we're doing an online training course for the concept. And I have like, probably, I'm not even gonna lie, a dozen more online training course ideas on the back burner right now. So with all that, you know, like you said, you got your day job, Scarrett Badges, Haunt Topic Podcast, Dead Factory Haunted House, Scary Visions Blog, and Haunter's Toolbox. How do you maintain all that? Because I get to where I'm like running around like a crazy person, and I don't seem like I'm getting everything done because I can't get my laser focus going on very good. So yeah. How do you control all of that? You said you had help with all your different stuff, and what else do you do to maintain all the projects?
Yep, little ADHD going on, you know, just right. Like squirrel. Yep. So you have to learn how to kind of reel it back. And well, it's like Scary Visions. Instead of doing anything on that, everything's kind of just stationary now. I have links that go out to Haunt Topic, Haunter's Toolbox. That way, if someone wants to come and consult with me, everything's there. And I hardly even maintain that anymore. It's just kind of a stationary blog. Every once in a while, I'll post something on the Scary Visions Facebook page. If I'm linking something out, I'll just go ahead and click it over there. So it's kind of running by itself. On Topic, we used to do a weekly podcast. Now it's a monthly podcast. So what I do for On Topic is I take some of my material that I've done on Haunter's Toolbox as an audio podcast and then transfer that over to On Topic. So now you go to On Topic. A lot of it's our things, either the whole class, if it's short class, sometimes I'll do the whole class, and things that we've talked about in our mastermind groups and in our classes. So that's kind of and then every once in a while I'll have a person come on, just, you know, in the haunt world, and then we'll release that as a podcast. So kind of repurposing a lot of my content.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Yeah. Scare Badges, Daryl does all the design work, all the website work from Canada. I do all the shipping work from Missouri because it's cheaper to ship out of the States than it is from Canada. So right. I have all the badges here. My season for scare badges kind of gets busy about the same time the haunt rolls around. October, November, we've been selling a lot in December because your season's done. You know how many actors you had, how many people deserve the rewards. So that all kind of happens at the same time the haunt does. Dead Factory probably takes up most of my time because this year we're going to start in March. But as a federal employee, I get, as a postal worker, I get Sundays off and then a day off during the week. So I usually utilize those while the wife's at work. But Sunday, she kind of loses me, or like it gets closer to the haunt season, she kind of loses me for a few months, you know? So it's like most guys have hunting season, I have haunting season. So
there you go.
I'm like, well, you know, plus we've been in doing 7 years now. So, you know, we're starting to put some good numbers in there. So she's like, okay, just go have fun. And, but that, you know, November time, it's wife time. So it's, I take about 3 months just to do nothing. Honor's Toolbox just kind of keeps up. We schedule one person a month. The only thing I'm behind on is getting these videos edited. That's why I'm kind of reduced the price. And then I'm going to go back and revamp a lot of things and that's kind of cool for me because I like doing the editing stuff. I kind of like just kind of sitting on the computer and just kind of geeking out for a while. I can sit there and, you know, do a video in an hour and a half, 2 hours. So it's not a big thing. So it's kind of fun. But yeah, right now it's like Dead Factory against Haunter's Toolbox have taken up most of my time.
Very cool. Like I said, a lot of respect because, like I said, I'm in the same boat and I know how tough it is. Try to keep focused on one thing. Just like I was watching Shark Tank, I had like a half an episode of Shark Tank I needed to finish. And watching that, I actually got like another idea today. And I was like, oh my God, no. It's like, yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to email it to myself and I'll follow through with it. And it sort of has something to do with the Arnold. So I emailed my contact at the Arnold, like, hey, this is an idea I just had. What's your opinion? You know, let me know.
So right.
My wife's like, oh, great. You know, something else, throw it on the plate.
I use my notes app a lot on my phone if I have an idea. I mean, I have like 30 different folders, but kind of keeps my mind clear. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, no matter where if you write a post-it note or put it in a journal or something, I go through my old notebooks and I'll just have random notebooks and I'll just flip through stuff. I'm like, oh, that was like 10 years ago. What the hell? You know, just.
I've got one of those journals that I jot stuff down in all the time. And I did the same thing. I flip bags. Oh, wow. It's been that long since I wrote this.
Yeah.
Why haven't I done this? You know, it's like.
Yep.
Right. That's like trying to come up with a haunt name or a horror name or probably a guy, you know, a wrestling name. One of my biggest things is just do like a mental brain dump. You know, I had Fear Factory, Dead Factory, Factory of Death, you know, just because I was in an old warehouse. So I was trying to figure out what I have, like probably 200 different names that I was just like, oh, that's a good name. And then I don't know, you kind of let it fester, give it a few weeks, just kind of figure out what sounds good and what doesn't, look for domain names or character names or whatever, and try to do and that's what I did trying to find my haunt name.
Yeah, they just come from everywhere. Yeah, here's a quick funny story. I don't even know if I've even told Jim this one, but back when I wrestled back in the late 90s, early 2000s, my name was Shank Dorsey, and I was an ex-con from the correctional institution here in town. And the gimmick came from a buddy of mine that was helping me train. He was like my trainer a little bit and my mentor. So he came up with the concept and the idea. And he said, call yourself Shank because they use prison shanks in prison. He's like, now you just got to come up with a last name. And I was like, okay. So I spent a week, you know, like you said, brain dumping, you know, what sounds cool, what's catchy. And I couldn't make a decision. So one day I'm driving down the road and I'm passing this tractor trailer. And I just happened to glance at the trailer and it said Dorsey on the trailer. And I was like, hey, there you go. I was like, Shank Dorsey. So I just went with it because it was just so corny. I was like, yeah, Shank Dorsey. That's what I'm going with. It was just all because I looked at a tractor trailer and saw the tag.
Boy, go with that first instinct, you know?
Yeah. I said, I don't even know how many people I've told that story to, and I haven't told very many. But that was it's funny that you said that.
Well, at the time, Dead Factor was going to be originally called Phobia 13. Me and Justin Fears were friends, and Phobias being close, we talked about it, and we didn't want to confuse our haunts for Phobias and Phobia 13, and even though they're different, but they both start with the PH and Phobia and Phobias. So we're like, well, I have another idea. So that's when deadfactory.com was available. I think Greg Allen from Fear Fest, Columbia, he was the one that kind of said, hey, you ever thought about this? So we talked about that. Dead Factory was born. I'm glad I did do that, because now I'm going to, we want to put a second attraction build it this year. So now I can have deadfactory.com as my brand name. And then I can have Phobia 13 as one haunt. And then the other one's going to be called, Witch Way. It's going to be based on witches. So, we're going to do that and just keep Dead Factory as the main. And then if we ever add anything besides the other two attractions, we can just put them in the Dead Factory. Because we've already built the Dead Factory brand up. We got the t-shirts out there and the bumper stickers. And so, and that's what I advise you if you guys are starting a haunted attraction. I know it's cool to be the haunted asylum or be the haunted prison. I guess if you're in a prison or an old asylum, that's one thing. But if you're in a building or warehouse, you ever want to change your theme, you're going to probably have to change your whole name. So if you can pick something general, and then you can run smaller attractions under that, or say, you know, presented by, you could Dead Factory Presents something else. But once you're stuck into an asylum name or a, you know, luckily we're in an old factory, an old warehouse. So it's like, you can just change it whatever you want. I know the Dent Schoolhouse is Dent Schoolhouse because they're in a schoolhouse. So it's always going to be the Dent Schoolhouse. But
they do manage to change things up.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they do it every year sometimes. The central theme's always there, but they throw different elements in every year. And I give kudos to Bud Strauss and crew for really reinventing it every year as much as possible.
Is it always based around some kind of school theme? They always have the classroom and stuff, or?
Well, yes. I mean, the house, it is literally, have you ever been?
No.
It is literally an old schoolhouse. And so there's always some kind of classroom theme going on, but when you get into the basement, it gets darker.
I remember something about little kids hanging up down there or something. And
Yes. There was a whole room of hanging kid bodies.
Right.
In one place. And then they've got the secondary attraction out back, which has evolved over the years. It started out as the detention hall when I was working there. And in my last season there, it turned into the Queen City Slaughter Yard, which I think it is still to this day, the Queen City Slaughter Yard. And it's gone over some changes since I left. But, kudos to their team for changing it as much as they can, given they're being pigeonholed into a certain theme.
Right. That's like, well, the Dead Factory as it is now, it's based around a doctor, neuroscientist, and the first third of the haunt is medical themed. So that'll probably never change. It's always going to be, it's going to be too hard to change it. But once you reach a certain point in the attraction, and then there's a secret door which lets you into Dr. Phobia's mind. So then everything kind of changes. Everything from that point is based on fears. So, you know, fear of the dark, snakes, spiders, clowns. And that's because that's what I had. And I took all my stuff and compiled it the first year. I had a bunch of doctor stuff, clown stuff, spiders, you know, just different odds and ends. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, if you put a haunted attraction together, it should be based around a theme, a story. So I was like, man, I have all this crap. what can I do? And I was always kind of doctor phobia anyway. So I made this story around the doctor who extracts fears from his patients. And so the people going through the next victims. And so it all kind of worked out. So that's, and I can go in and change individual rooms to be a different fear. Instead of changing the whole theme, I can take three rooms out and then just kind of reverse, you know, put something else in there in its place. And that's how we kind of change everything up about 20% every year. Add a little bit, or, you know, we're always adding because we're so anal about it, you know, so detailed about it. And it's like, you think anybody's ever going to see that? Now let's make it better anyway. You know? So right. It's like,
nothing wrong with that.
It's yeah. Subtle nuances.
Right. But those people that do go through it and stuff, you know, because we have everything detailed out. Yeah. You know, the people that do go through it appreciate it because there's people like us who take their time and look at all where the lighting's at, look where the sensors are at, look at the detail. And so, yeah, that's why they keep coming back every year, because it's the best year, it's this and that. And we don't think we're the best because there's always something to be improved, but we don't use fancy animatronics. It's an old school haunted house and loud noises and air. And we just try to keep you immersed as much as possible. So that's why everything's kind of realistic. You know, I just bring old props in, old shelves. We have old medical beds and old autopsy table and old x-ray machines and old buckets and boots and just all kinds of crazy stuff that we just found over the years. So it's part of my haunting obsession. Just sure. Will it fit in the haunt? Is there a place to store it? And what can I do afterwards? So
we're going to have to start wrapping this up, but I wanted to say something before we finished, you know, talking about how we walk around and look at detail. I don't know. What was it? It was probably 4 years ago. I went to the Darkness and, you know, Larry does a great haunt. I mean, I won't deny him that, but I was walking through and I could pick out every single pin spot in every room. Mm-hmm. I could physically see them. It's like, come on, Larry, you got to hide them better than that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's little details like that. I mean, I understand the accent lighting. I understand the use of a pin spot, but you're not supposed to see them.
Right. Cover them up with some, you know, little camouflage right. material or, yeah. you know, just something just to push them out of the way a little bit.
Hide them a little bit more, you know, just doesn't take much, but I'm sure he's probably solved that since then. This was 4 or 5 years ago. So,
yeah,
but then Larry being Larry, who knows? Anyway, we need to start. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah. I was gonna say, before we start wrapping up and giving all of his information out, we haven't done our question lately. I want to bring it back.
The question.
Yeah. We usually have a question on every podcast. We ask our people just for fun. There's no right or wrong answer. We just kind of put them on the spot, sort of, so to speak, and just see what their answer is, just all for fun. So the question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What's your go-to kill?
The go-to kill, huh? Wow. I'd say piano string over the neck behind you.
Nice. Haven't heard that one either. New one.
That one yet. No. I like that.
Yeah.
A little tourniquet, just kind of keep twisting a little bit.
Yeah.
That's it.
Slow, painful.
That's right. Can't never see me. Right. I've been playing too much Assassin's Creed lately. So.
So, Brian, how can people find out more about the Dead Factory, Haunt Topic, all your social media stuff?
Well, if you're a haunter out there and you want to find out some more information about what we do for the haunt community, haunttopic.com is our podcast. Haunterstoolbox.com is our membership site for anybody that's growing or starting a haunted attraction. Scarebadges.com for badges for your haunted attraction people. There's some creepy badges out there too that even if you're not a hunter, maybe you'll like to take a look at them. You have buttons too. And if you're around Missouri, we're about an hour and a half from St. Louis, about 2.5 hours from Kansas City, Mexico, Missouri, deadfactory.com. I think that's it. And if you want to go back and see my old stuff or want to consult, have me for a consultant, scaryvisions.com over there.
Very, very cool. Brian, I do appreciate you taking the time on Super Bowl Sunday to come out and talk with us before the Super Bowl.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, well, you know, okay.
Yeah, I had to say that. I'm from Missouri. I don't watch football, but hey, the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm a Seahawk guy. I'm from Ohio, but I'm a Seahawk guy. So I didn't fare too well this year.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Florida, but I'm a I'm a Dolphins fan, not a Buccaneers fan.
Okay.
So, but since it's Florida, I'm the Go Bucks.
Got to.
Once again, thanks for coming on to Wrestle Horror. It's been a hoot. You know, cool. It's just this. I don't have a closing for this other than make sure that you follow Wrestle Horror on all our social media outlets. At Wrestle Horror, you'll find us on most of the Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Make sure you check out Brian's sites. Get some Scarrett badges. They're really cool. Listen to Haunt Topic Radio. Haunt Topic has a great working relationship with the Big Scary Show, and now I hope it has a great working relationship with Wrestle Horror. And we will catch you all on the next episode. Thank you so much, Brian.
And that little girl behind you keeps creeping me out.
It's good to be in the window.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Right. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram at WrestleHorror, Twitter at WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the WrestleHorror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.